Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about the Earth, its inhabitants. How are we saying the world is going around? It seems to have so much difficulty today. Society is just thrown up in a handbag, and it's just not coming out all good. We see fires, earthquakes, hurricanes. We see people arguing and fighting. Drug abuse is on the rise, and many people are exiting this planet using human connotations of words, and they're saying it's such a terrible thing, and we want to call back the spirits, call back the souls. Tell me what's going on. God, do you have any answers? Who are we crying out to be able to solutionize this, fix what's broken, and be able to create that perfect image we believe is paradise? Isn't that what all the spiritual people are saying these days? We want to have paradise on earth. What does that look like? Bells, whistles? Are we all chanting in the scale of G and make sure that everything is perfect in the right color? Maybe not. Can we see? Everything has a cycle, a frequency. It goes through transfiguration. It moves. It has flow. What are we in now? Where are we going? Maybe there are answers. Maybe just guidance to say, let's lessen up the fear. Let's be present and allow ourselves to be part of the solution in the long run and not contribute to the parts that keep us stuck. My guest today is Lois Herman. Her book is Chronicles of Hope, The Anquietus, Book 1. Lois, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us here.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm honored to be here.
Oh, you're so welcome. Oh, Lois, we get with the frequencies, we could so turn around and we're up and down and back and forth. How about you?
Absolutely. There are so many different frequencies that we're dealing with personally and collectively, and we have to learn how to navigate through them.
You know, we look at it today in 2019, and we have a lot of fires, and the earth is heating up. I know I live in New Orleans, and it's hotter than you know what, and It just doesn't seem to be going back. And even if someone is who more in tune with their body, they'll say, I feel dry inside. I can't drink enough water. Water's not resonating with me. And we're starting to feel aches and pains. Do you think that if you were in awareness, you can start seeing how the world is reflected within us?
Absolutely. And the world is warming, and we just need to pay attention. We need to get ready, and we need to shift our habits and our attitudes to embrace change.
How do you think, you wrote in your book, The Chronicles of Hope, and it's all about the earth and changes that are coming about and how we can participate in the process. Don't you think participating in the process is so much more, has so much more validity rather than how can we change the process?
It's about doing what we can do, each of us doing our own piece, whatever we feel called to do, whatever we feel drawn to do. What the ancient ones have said is there are many people doing wonderful things. We need to celebrate and encourage them. There is enough critical mass to save, to shift, to help each other and our planet. We need to come together as a collective. This is about communicating and cooperation, not competition.
Let's talk about your book, Chronicles of Hope. Can you share with us how the process went in this book? Because your book is very uniquely written. It is not something you're sitting down, you're saying, this is the way it is. You actually have a process in here. Can you share that with us?
Sure. My background, I am a hypnotist and a spiritual-based hypnotist. So my clients come in, they can communicate with whomever they wish. If they so choose, they can communicate with a passed over loved one, with their angels, guides, whomever. And they also have, some of them have what I call lost souls that are around them. I communicate with them and help them into the light. This is normal, unique stuff for other people, but my normal.
Right.
I had a gentleman come to see me who was sort of an Einstein-looking guy, very analytical engineering scientist, who needed help with sleep. Normal thing for a hypnotist to deal with. He goes into trance, and all of a sudden he starts talking to me, saying, "We need your help. Humanity is facing the next great apocalypse. If they don't change now, they may not have much time left." And I'm looking around going, "You're talking to me? What's up with this?"
Right.
I love what I do, and I love helping individuals. But for me to help on a global scale, that is beyond my comprehension. So this gentleman named Gary comes out of trance, does not remember a thing. And I thought, holy cow, what was that? He comes back the next time, goes into trance, and this time I had the presence of mind to turn on an app on my phone and record it. And sure enough, these ancient ones came through again, and they are giving me insight as to what the negative energies are that we deal with on the planet, and that there's so much chaos going on from all of the negative energy, and we need to shift to be more positive. So in this process, what I've done is I've actually verbatim recorded the sessions. We ended up with a total of 22 sessions over a two-year period. And the first book has the first 11 sessions in it. And so I transcribed the sessions verbatim, gave them to a group of people and just to ask their feedback about a year ago. And they read it and they were like, "Please explain." So I ended up creating more of a Cliff Notes version at the end. This is what you just read. And again, attempting to avoid any bias, and yet I have been doing this work for 30 years, so I have my own experience plus the amazing insight that has come through my clients over these years that helped me to understand what these ancient ones are saying. So I created a reflection section in the book, and then because they were telling me that you need to get this word out to all of humanity, what I decided in this day and age, since so many people are very involved in social media, what I decided to do is to go through and take specific excerpts from the sessions and write them in what we call the highlights. So these are tweetable, YouTubeable, Facebookable little clips so that we can get this out to humanity. And then if people so choose, they can read the entire synopsis, the entire book. However, we are pushing this information out there because what they're saying is if we don't change, we may not be around. Our children and our children's children may not have civilization as we now know it.
Do you think that potentially, you know, I have said it so many times over the decades that it really is going to come to a tipping point where the Earth will also transfigure, just as humans will also transfigure. And I think that kind of maybe more or less freaks people out to say, is it coming next week? Is it coming next day? You know, whatever. And then when they start to see these signs that are happening, they say they gain more fear within them. And that fear within is what perpetuates that energy frequency of fear, which creates some of these to almost like feed off of that and create a turbine, more or less. And, you know, I think once we start to do that, we say, I can understand it's going to transfigure and I will transfigure with it. And isn't that a later conversation?
Absolutely. And that's why what they're bringing is hope. Yes, they acknowledge that there is too much fear right now and we've got to shift out of the fear. And in so doing, in these sessions, Mother Earth, Gaia, the spirit that inhabits the earth, our true mother, she came through, and this will be in book two, and she said, "I am disenchanted with my humans. I'm disappointed in most of my humans because they are not respecting each other and they're not respecting me. So I'm sweeping with a broad stroke. I'm cleaning house Yes, indeed. I am shifting. You know, this is hence the hurricanes, the volcanoes, the tornadoes. All of this is her cleaning house. There will be some who will survive. And she says, I cannot be selective about who is in the way. I just know that I need to clean house so that people start paying attention. And she says, I can heal myself. However, I cannot heal all of the artificial things that you're producing. That is the plastics and some of the other things she cannot deal with. And we need to shift our processes in order to work with her for healing.
It's almost, you know, I follow some people and they talk about earthquakes on the on Twitter. And when he talks about the earthquakes, he actually teaches you how the waves go across the earth. You know, and just as I'm talking, I've got this loud tone in my ear. Okay, so let's continue. And, you know, when you see and you feel an earthquake in one spot, it's going to have waves all the way out. And then you say, why all of a sudden an earthquake in California? And it's no big deal. It just dissipates. In essence, then you see a fire in Texas. Pipes break at a chemical plant. Or you see mines collapsing on the East Coast. Or you see dry air over the waters coming off of Africa. Because it is all of this type of wave. It is all an energy source. I think we've really gotten to be as humans where there were several decades there where people were told, stay to yourself, keep within your lane, keep your blinders on, take care of, quote, self. And when they did that, they shut themselves down to not feel or believe or know of this type ripple effect, which goes around everyone and everything, because that's the way energy works. You can't, nothing is stable, nothing stays, everything is in flow and flux. And I think that's a concept lost on people as they've gotten older. You know, I'm a firm believer that all kids starting at kindergarten should be taking quantum physics and chemistry, you know?
Absolutely. Because we are energy. We are energy beings.
Right.
If you look at Carillion photography, everything has energy. And we need to respect that energy and acknowledge that we are all interconnected. We are all one.
Well, I think if they also start to understand it, then they've already not tagged along all the old dogma from old books, and then they can create it going forward. So, Lois, let's talk for a second about the earth changes. They're not firmly ingrained. They are visions out there. They are senses and knowings. But in essence, everything can still be shifted. And we all know if you shift 1 degree sitting where you are and just look out at the sun, that's actually could be 100 degrees out that way. So in other words, things are exponentially different when you go farther out. So can we not change the whole story?
We can change part of the story. What they're saying is that we are at the end of a natural glaciation melt. So we are, the earth is warming. We need to get ready. It's just part of nature. However, some of our actions are causing it to be accelerated. So it's twofold. One, we have to take the blinders off and pay attention to what is happening. And two, we have to be able to work within it to mitigate what is happening and how it is affecting our marine life, our birds, the different animals. The choices that we make create that ripple effect. So we can choose different pathways to help mitigate what's to come. But what they're saying is you guys just need to wake up and get ready. The earth is warming.
You know, it's interesting that you say that because your book has been written much more before today. And if you look at it just probably a few weeks ago, I was looking on Twitter, and I think it was Iceland or someplace else up in the way north, and they had a post that said that the country held a funeral for its first ever glacial loss.
Mm.
And it was like, wow, they were actually honoring the glaciers, and they were, and that
right.
was the first they ever lost. And
wow.
just recently, I noticed green algae is now showing up in New York City, and we're going, how did that get there?
Absolutely.
You know, I live in New Orleans. Green algae is everywhere. It's so hot. The Gulf is like almost like an inferno. It's almost up to 100 degrees. That's
mm-hmm.
unheard of. And
right.
I think the idea of if we are seeing all these different things, are people supposed to migrate or are people supposed to learn to fix it? But what happens when they can't fix it? Then what happens?
And what they are saying, again, is that we definitely need to tap into the knowing that we have. So
uh-huh.
much has been lost because we have focused on technology. There
right.
is a lot of intuitive insight that we as humans have. I started asking them questions because what they said, teach, because I'm asking, how do I get humanity to pay attention? And they
right.
said, and I love this because we just had a little conversation a minute ago and you actually said exactly this. They said, teach them what they want to, or tell them what they want to know, then teach them what they need to know. So I started thinking, if you were having a direct conversation with what would be considered God, the ancient wisdom of all, what would humans want to know? So I started watching some of the Discovery Channels and the questions that people would ask, and things like, how were the pyramids built? What was the purpose of Stonehenge? How did life come to this planet? So I'm asking these questions, and they, like historians, are just gladly answering all of this.
Right.
So they discussed that the pyramids were built by man. We had the knowing of how to do all of that, but it got lost over the years as we shifted our focus towards technology. But we have within our own DNA, within our own knowing, we can tap mm-hmm. into so much wisdom that is within our awareness should we explore that. And so we have the ability to change the world, and we also have the ability to be aware that the coastlines are going to shift. So yes, some of them will be able to be saved. Some of them we may need to move inland. We need to pay attention.
Do you think, though, also, too, as things transfigure, it's truly about allowing them their natural course? In other words, it's sort of like when we see animals starting to become extinct, we want to grasp at all of their stem cells and try to recreate them. Is that really the purpose, or is it maybe their cycle is finished and now they're on to the next thing? In other words, do we always have to say that manatees should always be in Florida because that's how they've always been and we're going to make darn sure they stay there? Or maybe manatees are now going to transition and there's going to be smaller fish and lighter fish that will have a shorter cycle, that will eat less, that will change and do different things. Do we always have to hold on to the story as it's constructed, or can we go and see how the story can create from within, or see how it's going to create or play out?
Absolutely. And one of the things that they say is that life changes, and it's all about adapting to the change.
Right.
They went through the five great extinctions, and specifically what happened in the five great extinctions, and they said, have the dinosaurs not gone because of there was a meteor that hit that caused the extinction of the dinosaurs, and
right.
only things that weighed less than 10 pounds survived.
Uh-huh.
Had they continued on, they would have developed intelligent life. However, that extinction event happened, and then the smaller life could evolve. So it is about evolution, change, and helping, embracing that transfiguration, because
right.
things are changing.
Let's talk about how humans, spirits, and souls are now transfiguring, transforming. If we look back at the 50s and 60s when we grew up, life was so different then. We wouldn't have even had this conversation because we couldn't put two and two of these words together. Yet
Absolutely.
Now we're at a point where we are talking about light and dark forces. We are talking about energies, our soul? Is it dismembered? Is it disheveled? How can we collectively put ourselves back together? Do you think that potentially the soul and spirit is also in that transfiguration phase?
Yes, and they give us specific information about that. Understand that I do a lot of energy clearing work in the work that I do. So here I have this client who wants to sleep. So me, he's paying me to help him sleep. So my intention is to, what can I do to help him get better? So a lot of the questions in the first several sessions are about how can I help him? And several of them have to do with the energies around him. Because of the fear that he had, there were energy feeders that were from the earth that were feeding on his energy. And they just, you know, we just wipe them away. We chase them away. It's sort of like the algae eaters in a fish tank. It's like the vultures that eat the carcasses. They're not evil. They are just there. They serve a purpose. So we have all of these different unseen energies that are here. Some of them are helping, and some of them are lost, don't know what they're supposed to do, and so therefore we help to shift them. They talked specifically about the fact that we have, there are four parts to the being, that the word soul is pretty much the religious connotation parallel to the word spirit. So our spirit is eternal. It goes on forever and ever in all of lifetimes. That is our spirit. The body, the physical being, those are the clothes we wear in this incarnation that we shed, and it does not come back. There are also the mental intellectual body and the emotional body. Those are parts of those transcend from lifetimes. So, for instance, how many times have you heard of a child who sits down to play the piano and just eloquently plays without any training at all? That is knowledge that comes in from a prior life with that child. Many of us, many people who are intuitive or empathic, who have this knowing, they're bringing it in from a past life. The other piece that happens is the emotion from a past life. Someone who has been hung as a witch, burned at the stake. They are people who are spiritually, who are here to help evolve the species, evolve humanity by bringing truth. But so many times in so many eras, they were put to death as heretics. That memory, that emotional memory is still there within the spirit. So now we have people who've come in to help again, but they have these fears. Are the fears real? Of course they're real, but where are they from? Where do they come from? Are they a genetic fear? Harvard has released a study about epigenetic memory, that a memory, say, of your grandmother who fell off a bridge and survived, mm-hmm. that memory is attached to the DNA. It's not in the DNA, but it's attached. So therefore, she goes on, has offspring. One or more of her offspring could have a situation that happens that exacerbates and actually turns on that memory, and they have all of a sudden this incredible fear of heights. Where did that come from? Nothing specific happens to the person in this life. However, that memory is there. It could be from genetics. It could be from past lives. And we have ways of being able to understand that, to heal that memory so the person can then feel more confident in themselves and more committed to following on their purpose. So we have old souls and we have young souls. The old souls, like you and I, have been around many times, many lifetimes. Mm-hmm. We come with a sense of knowing, with that we don't have to do that anymore. We don't need that exhilaration. But the young souls, those are the ones that are causing so much chaos. And Earth Gaia welcomes new souls. Not many planets do. She does. However, the young souls are like kids in a candy shop. Oh, let's just have a little of this. Let's do this. And they get overly inundated with so much excitement, and hence the drugs, the alcohol, the sex, all that stuff. These are the new souls who are just experiencing life on this planet without any sort of self-imposed discipline. And that's part of what's why we are out of balance. The young Quetus are saying the earth is out of balance. There is too much negative, and there are too many young souls who are just experiencing life without appreciating the consequences of their behavior. And the old souls are getting a little tired, and the old souls are getting fed up, and they're leaving. And we need the old souls to be able to teach the young souls.
It's almost like the old souls knew this, because if you look back in the end of the 1900s, you know, people were still dying, you know, 65, age 70. Now, mm-hmm. only 20 years later, we're up to hundreds. You know, mm-hmm. people are living to hundreds. It's sort of like they're saying, well, we're going to give you a little more time, a little more time, a little more time, you know. And mm-hmm. you can see it, because if you have photographs of people who aged in 1970s or 1980, they looked very old at the age of 60 and 70. If you look mm-hmm. at a 60 or 70-year-old now, they're like, whoa, there's no way you're 60 or 70, you know? I mean, our bodies still feel like it, but we could look a little differently, you know? And it's definitely interesting that when we say about the kids, you know I have three grandchildren, and I think the ones that came in probably just the last 2 years, that was my grandchildren's time frame. As soon as they were born, I looked at my grandchild and I said, ah, wisdom. Looked at the mm-hmm. other one and said, ah, joy. The mm-hmm. other one was, ah, knowing. Mm-hmm. And I don't even think of them as their names when I see them. I think of those. I think of wisdom, joy, and knowing. And it's sort of like, could you just name your kids that, because that's who they are, you know? And because it was so profound that you could, I'm sure older souls will pick this up, but it's so profound when you see it. It's sort of like, it's like, oh, they finally got it. Oh, I feel like it's almost like a weight off old souls' back when they see this coming through, because they know now the cavalry is coming, don't you think?
That's right. These are the old souls that are coming in, and I work with quite a few young humans, who are very old, wise souls, and they have a pretty important mission, because they've got to carry this baton forward. You know, you and I in our 60s will be passing on in maybe another 40 years. But these young ones that are coming in, they're the ones that are the way showers, and we need to support them. These, like you said, that with the wisdom, the joy, and the knowing, those are the ones that will be teaching the next generation, this young generation of chaotic souls. They will be helping them to learn and to honor and respect the earth. One of the things that came out of the teachings from the Onquietus is that the Native American belief system is the closest to reality, because they honored the earth. They truly respect the trees, the leaves, the animals, the, you know, all of the kingdoms. Everyone has, you know, in the spirit of Disney, Pocahontas has a life, has a name. Everything is honored, and we've gotten away from that. And I think kind of teaching our children to go back into honoring the beauty, the wonder, and the awe of nature is key to celebrating the transfiguration. As things shift and change, we can love it as it's moving in a direction.
You know, it's interesting, because I've always taught my kids, you know, herbalism, about plants and energy, and they all are extremely intelligent in the sciences. And going back to what I said before, these children that are coming now, if they had a school that did not have walls and they were taught quantum physics and chemistry in kindergarten, wouldn't that just exponentially take all of the other people on the earth to say, stand up in wonderment and say, what if? It's almost
what
like
if?
You want to, you're right, you want to create that movement of what if versus saying this is, yes?
Exactly. And yes, and that's what they're saying, is we have to teach creativity, encourage creativity, because we are creative beings. Mm-hmm. So getting them to ask what if, instead of indoctrinating with this is what we've learned. I mean, years ago, the world was flat until it was proven round, and now we know that it's actually more ovoid. So how can we say we know anything? Everything is a question. And as we teach our children and ourselves to question, then it's through the question that we come up with our own sense of knowing. And that knowing in our heart is what will drive the new awareness that we so need on this beautiful planet. They say we live on one of the very rare, the most beautiful planet in the universe. Very few planets have the rich blues and the verdant greens that we need to really cherish, this beautiful planet that we live on, because you're not going to see something like this elsewhere. We need to just acknowledge and truly cherish her.
Now, Lois, I cannot wait to go to Neptune. That's my next place, so don't discourage me now.
And it will be very different. Yes, they say there are wonderful ice worlds, and there are worlds that are silver worlds. They all have different energies.
Yes, I mean, I need to cool off. I have been so heated up, I just need to cool off and go again. So I'll see you there when I get there. But
absolutely. We've probably been there before together.
Let's talk about spirits. When we talk about dark energies, let's talk about this for a little bit, because, you know, there's such a proponent right now of people that are saying, I'm getting into the light. I'm a spiritual being. I've got it all. You know, I'm at this level. I'm good at my frequencies. And I'll even ask people and they'll say, oh, no, I'm in the fifth dimension. I'm good. And, And I'll say something and then they'll say, oh, no, I don't associate with that. That's dark. That's over there. That's whatever that is. And then in a sense, that is creating the separation again and further propagating old ways. You're just putting another spin on it to make yourself feel better. Versus saying, I'm a light energy, light can flow and show into darkness and turns into gray and light and pink and green and whatever. So in other words, don't you think that all engagement is what we're talking about versus going into this such a secular space that we are devoid of everything else?
Well, what's interesting is when I started on my journey of doing this work that I do, my mentors and teachers spoke a lot about demons and nasties and their, you know, command them and stuff.
Right.
And what happened, that was my awareness until I started, I have a different awareness because of doing this and asking questions, because I tend to think of myself like Columbo. I'm constantly asking questions, and then it's like, oh, that's not at all who that is. So in this book, I'm asking these questions, and they're telling me that those are many of these that we call dark are just, like they said, we call them EFs, emotional energy feeders. They feed on the energy of emotions. They're just from Gaia. They're natural beings. One, that's one part of them. The others are human beings that were lost, did not have a belief system, had nobody to help them into the light, so they're just sort of stuck in between. Some religious beliefs would call them the lost souls of purgatory. I work with them all the time and help them lovingly to shift. This is not like, be gone. This is like, what happened to you? How may I help you?
Yes.
Let me help you find a good place. And then I have some that have come through that say, I am Lucifer. Well, I want you to know that I met Lucifer in book two. He comes through and he says, contrary to popular belief, I have never inhabited a human body. I've never possessed a human body. How may I help you? So it was very fascinating. So here I have a conversation with Lucifer, who's actually a helper. He is the Archangel Samael in the Old Testament.
Right.
And he brings strife and dissent because he does not believe in weak humans. We only grow through difficulty, through challenge.
Yes.
That's how we grow. So when I encounter someone, I actually had someone yesterday who I was doing just my classic spirit release techniques that I work on, and the spirit comes through and says, I am Lucifer. I'm like, hey there, how you doing?
Right.
Good to see you. And it catches them off guard, and then I say, and so what is your name, really? My name is David. Why are you calling yourself Lucifer? Because I started a fire and I felt evil. I'm like, well, you could be forgiven. So this is the type of work that I do. It's about not polarizing, but embracing and helping these lost souls, the ones that think based on the religious beliefs of their time that they are evil, and they're not. It's helping them to shift and go into a place of forgiveness, a place of peace, wherever that is. But it's not for me to judge. I do work with high-level entities, energies. I call them archangels, but what the book has told us, or what the ancient ones have said, they were the ancient gods of mythology. They just, they've renamed over the years. Us humans are the ones that are naming them, but they've always been around helping. Their energy is too great to incorporate as a human, but they are here and they can communicate. When we shift our energy up to a higher level vibration, we can communicate with them and really truly hear them, sense them, feel them, and they are helping us. So they also help the lost souls. This is not about blame, shame. It is about how can we help each other? How can we as a collective help? No matter, even the lost ones, they're just lost. They just need help.
Mm-hmm. And that's also said, transfiguration, because once you do help them, then they are also too raising their space, and then they go on to help someone else. It's sort of like if I've had really bad cancer and I've had horrible pain and I've gone through it, then I can turn around and tell people about it, how I
absolutely
went through it. So in essence, it's the same thing with dark and light figures. Light figures
yes
can also falter. We think that they're perpetual. They stay on that pedestal. And they could say, oh, you know what? I went through this little space. I wanted to go help dark people, so I went and joined them for dinner. You know,
mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, cool. Okay, so you're going to go join them for dinner. Well, then they
yep
had to dim their light for a while. They had to go to have dinner. They had to sit down. They had to feel their pain. They had to you know, put their feet in the swamp. They had to sit and cajole and maybe make jokes, you know.
And truly experience it. Yeah,
yes.
So you come from a level of understanding
yes
instead of guilt, shame, and blame.
Right, and I think that what has happened is that we humans have put so many names on so many different things, or
yes
we're looking for that spot to make ourselves feel better about it, that we've really come to that. Really what you and I have spoken about today is how we can take the energy we have, irregardless of the label it has, feel it, sense it, know it, and move through it to a higher plane and just continue to do good that we can. That's it.
Yes.
You know, I mean, in a nutshell, if we could take the
yes
whole existence, that's it, right?
That's right. Absolutely.
You know, I think
said.
I think it's the idea when we start to put the names on that we get stuck, is that someone's better or they're worse or other. And I think that tends to tie us up. Don't you think really what your book is about, The Chronicles of Hope, is about releasing those tentacles of labels?
Absolutely. And truly sensing for yourself, getting into your heart, because they say that hate and greed, that is in the hearts of man. It's up to the man to shift it. It's up to us to shift our own. It's like an alchemy. We go through different issues in our life to learn. If we get the learning and understanding and we shift, then we can then reach out to help others. If there's so many people who are so stuck in the pain of their past and they ruminate and over and over and over, the past is not real. It's an illusion.
Yeah.
It's gone. But people who stay stuck there, that's their choosing until they choose again.
Right.
So each of us as human beings, that's the one thing, one of the most powerful messages that came through the book is that we have free will. I would try and trick these ancient ones into
mm-hmm
getting them to tell me something without asking. And they always said, we cannot interfere with your free will. You must ask. If
right
you ask, we will help, but we cannot force ourselves on you. So I'm thinking, well, goodness, if these ancient, amazing, wise ones cannot force themselves on us, who are we to force ourselves on each other?
Mm-hmm.
We
absolutely
should just ask. We should be here of service, asking, honoring, respecting, and just cherishing the differences.
Well, Lois, in closing, do you think that the message is do the best you can, be in awareness, open yourselves up to whatever's coming around, and be able to say, I'm here? It's almost like you get up in the morning, you almost want to grab your staff and say, okay, what's next, you know?
Exactly.
And it's how to be open to that, yes?
Yes. Absolutely. And for those that are on a spiritual path, you can't just dabble. It's like you can't just go to the dentist a couple times a year and expect your teeth to be clean if you don't brush them. You've got to brush your teeth every day. You have to embrace a spiritual practice, whatever that is for you, on a regular basis. You wouldn't leave your house without brushing your teeth in the morning. So you would want to invoke whatever that spiritual sense of self is to allow yourself to be open to transfigure.
Yes. Well, Lois, it was such a pleasure to speak with you today. I think we've shared a lot of thoughts, and I'm sure there'll be a lot more questions and answers. Could you share with the listeners how to find more information about your work? That'd be wonderful.
Absolutely. So the chroniclesofhope.net has its own website that's really rich with a lot of information. And then my personal website is loisherman.com, and Herman is spelled with two N's. And there I, as far as I'm a teacher, I'm a success coach, I'm a hypnotist, I do training programs, and I love just helping people to change their lives with the power of the mind. And I work mind, body, and spirit because I believe we are so much more than this physical body that we drive on this existence.
Well, Lois, it was such a pleasure to work with you today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I'm so honored to be here.
Oh, you're so welcome.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.